Good evening. Welcome to Main Street. Although I believe most of you know me, and I believe I know most of you, I was taught that under circumstances like this, one should always introduce oneself. My name is Larry Morin, the Director of Music Ministries here at Main Street. Usually at this time, prior to a service, we hear about upcoming events, opportunities for service, committee meetings, softball games, and so forth. But tonight we're going to forego that, because tonight is different. Today is Ash Wednesday. It is the first day of the season of Lent. At the close of this service, you will be invited to come to the chancel rail to have the sign of the cross placed on your forehead. You're not under any obligation to do that. You are welcome to do so. You are also welcome to remain in your seat in a period of silent prayer and meditation. If there are any clergy in the congregation, Reverend Martin invites you at that time to join him at the altar and assist with the imposition of ashes. As I was preparing for this service, I was thinking about what Lent means to people, and I thought of words such as, perhaps you think of words such as fasting, penitence, sacrifice, preparation, charity, renewal, reaffirmation, rededication, and all of those are appropriate. But as I was studying this service, which will be brief tonight, I realized that the purpose of this service, and perhaps the purpose of the Lenten season entirely, is a rather simple concept upon which we should reflect, and that is this: how Jesus expects his disciples to live their lives. I leave you with that thought as the prelude helps us prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you. After John's arrest, Jesus came unto Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, "The time has come at last. God's reign has arrived. You must change your hearts and minds and believe the good news."
We must change our hearts and minds.
While he was walking by the lake of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew, casting their large net into the water. They were fishermen, so Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will teach you to be fishers of humanity." At once they left their nets and followed.
Jesus calls, and we follow. At least we try to follow.
Trouble is, he's always out ahead of us, moving faster than we do.
Lent is a time for deciding to follow Jesus, a time for returning to his path.
Tonight, we can lay down some of the heavy load we carry.
Tonight, we can fall under the spell of Jesus' love again.
When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they confronted Aaron and said to him, "Come make us gods to go ahead of us." Aaron answered them, "Take your gold and bring it to me." He took it out of their hands, cast the metal into a mold, and made it into the image of a bull calf.
From time before time, this has been our way. We sense the living spirit, but can hardly let it work its way before we try to capture and control it, enflesh and entomb it.
We want things predictable and safe, but too much safety kills. Jesus knew this. We must be born from water and spirit. Flesh can give birth only to flesh. It is spirit that gives birth to spirit. The wind blows where it will. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So with everyone who is born from spirit.
And from the Sermon on the Mount, "I bid you put away anxious thoughts about food and drink to keep you alive, and clothes to cover your body. Surely life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Set your mind on God's reign and God's justice before everything else, and all the rest will come to you as well."
We are idol makers, all of us. We think, first I must have a fine, secure home, and then I will seek out God's ways.
First, I must advance in my job.
First, I must marry someone attractive.
First, I must be healthy.
First, I must get an education.
First, I must raise my children.
First, first, first. Maybe we have it backward. Maybe there is no home, job, marriage, health, education, or parenthood without God.
Set your mind on God's reign and God's justice before everything else. What are the idols that you and I put before commitment to God? What are the things that we want to happen before we follow Jesus?
In my heart.
You have learned that they were told, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But what I tell you is this, do not set yourself against anyone who wrongs you. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn your left. If someone wants to sue you for your shirt, give your coat as well. If someone in authority makes you go 1 mile, go 2. Give when you're asked to give, and do not turn your back on one who would borrow. You have learned that they were told, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But what I tell you is this, love your enemies and pray for your persecutors. There must be no limit to your goodness, as God's goodness knows no bounds. Another burden we carry is violence. We are acutely aware of differences. We remember wrongs done us from long ago. We believe that only weapons will keep us safe from potential enemies.
Jesus knew the violence of our hearts. He knew our liking for grudges, the temptation of bitterness. Jesus counseled in different ways. Peter came up and asked how often we should forgive, and Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 7 times 70 times.
Jesus also knew that violence begets violence, that we must resist the temptation to outdo our enemies, that fighting will not lead to peace. Judas, one of the 12, appeared with a great crowd armed with swords and staves. They came up, seized hold of Jesus, and held him. Suddenly, one of Jesus' disciples drew his sword, slashed at the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. At this, Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its proper place. All those who take the sword die by the sword.
Fear and anger are such natural human responses.
But they lead so easily to hatred and violence.
It is not the fear and the anger that are wrong,
but the way we choose to respond to them.
What are the ways we allow fear and anger to encumber us with hatred and violence? Either the hatred we carry within or the violence we choose to act on the outside. It was at this time that the disciples came to Jesus with the question, who is greatest in God's realm? Jesus called a little child to his side. Believe me, he said, unless you change your whole outlook and become like little children, you will never know God. Whoever can be as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Like the disciples, we too are interested in greatness, wealth, fame, power. At some level, we're all attracted to these. Like James and John, we wouldn't mind being chosen to sit at the left and right hands of God.
Jesus, too, was concerned with power, but it was the power to love rather than control, the power to give rather than receive, the power to serve rather than be served.
It was before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that his hour had come and he must leave this world and go to God. He had always loved his own in this world, and now he was to show the full extent of his love. During supper, Jesus, well aware that God had entrusted everything to him and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from table, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, tied it round him. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash their feet and to wipe them with the towel.
Jesus had everything: power, responsibility, authority, strength.
But he used it to serve, to wash his disciples' feet, to die on a cross.
We also have been given power, responsibility, authority, and strength. But how are we using them?
Let us ask ourselves how we're weighed down by not using our power with love and our responsibility with wisdom.
We have examined the burdens of idolatry, violence, and misuse of power as they weigh down our lives and keep us from following Jesus.
These are a heavy load indeed. Yet the good news of our faith is that Jesus seeks out people like us.
Said Jesus, "It is not the healthy who need the doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to invite the righteous, but the sinners, to change their ways.
Come and celebrate with me, for I have found that sheep of mine which was lost. I tell you that in heaven there is more joy over one sinner whose heart is changed than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance.
Salvation has come to this house today, for it was the lost that the Son of Man came to seek and to save.
Come, you who have won my God's blessing, take your inheritance, the realm reserved for you since the foundation of the world. For I assure you that whatever you did for the very humblest ones, you did for me."
In light of the promises of Jesus, let us renounce the burdens of idolatry, violence, and selfishness that weigh us down. Let us allow the cleansing fire of the Holy Spirit to purify our hearts. And let us pray for the love of Jesus to dawn on our hearts and draw us closer to the life he offers.
Ashes are a symbol of purification. As a fire burns, it can separate what is valuable from what is valueless, just as the assayer's fire can separate a base metal from one that is precious. In this same way, these ashes are pure. They are a symbol of the new space that is now present within us for a new life. Let us claim the new life Jesus offers us by praying to God. God of love and mercy, we come to you in prayer, seeking to change our hearts and minds. We confess the baggage of idols, bitterness, and self-concern that we so often drag along with us, struggling under its weight, all the while we attempt to follow Christ. Cleanse us from our attachment to these old things. Burn away their power in us, and purify our hearts. In place of old ways, fill us with the new fire of your Holy Spirit. Open up new opportunities for us to follow Jesus in loving you and our neighbors. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Friends, receive the good news of our faith. For in the name of Jesus, I announce our sins are forgiven. The old has died. Behold, the new has come. I invite you to come as you will. Holy God, as we gather here facing the close of this day and embracing the hope of a new day, we thank you for this solemn journey of Lent, a season that calls us to deep reflections, a time that calls us for a fresh resurrection of a new commitment to you. A time that calls us to embrace the frailties of our humanness and to acknowledge the hope that your Spirit brings to us with the power of a new resurrection. Holy God, we are your frail, sinful people. We thank you that you are cleansing us with your blood. We thank you for the resurrection. Help us, O God, during these times of self-denial, of penitence, to live as resurrected people to new life and new hope in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed.